This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. President Obama and Senator Elizabeth Warren have both formally endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. The moves appear to seal the end of the progressive path to the White House that Senator Bernie Sanders inspired among millions of Americans. But is it really the end? Sanders has said that he will help Clinton defeat Trump, but he has also insisted on running in the Washington, D.C. primary on Tuesday. Now, a petition is calling on Sanders to continue to the convention in Philadelphia and, quote, complete the process of fully representing the millions of people who've worked, donated, and voted for you. Joining me now is Jeff Cohen. He is the co-founder of RootsAction.org that is hosting the petition. He's also an associate professor of journalism and the director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College, founder of the media watchdog group FAIR, and former board member of Progressive Democrats of America. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. I want to talk about the petition, but before we get into that, one of the things that has come up in these discussions of what happened last Tuesday in California, New Jersey, and some other states, but mostly in California, which was the sort of make or break moment for the Sanders campaign. The day before, the Associated Press released a report that essentially said they chased down all of the superdelegates and decided that Clinton was going to be the presumptive nominee. And a lot of people blamed the AP for trying to tamper with the election process. The Nurses United and Nurses for Bernie group has come out and actually said they blame Associated Press for tamping down, in particular, the youth vote, who saw those results and thought, what's the point of coming out? As somebody who's worked in the media for many, many years, how strong an effect do you think the AP report could have had? And why do you think they timed their report so badly?
I think it had an impact. I think it's dispiriting when you hear all of the networks. I mean, Associated Press started it, and then all the networks said the race is over. That's pretty dispiriting to Bernie voters. Why did they do it? Part of it is the mainstream media are pretty cozy with power. They're obviously mainstream media much more comfortable with the Clinton team than the Bernie team. Bernie says things every day and every week that's outside of the spectrum, the political spectrum you hear in mainstream media, which goes from largely center to right, General Electric to General Motors. And Bernie's saying all these things that appear crazy to mainstream journalists, even though a lot of the things he says, a majority of the people support them according to polls, but it's not the kind of thing you hear in Associated Press every day or CNN or NBC News or NPR, I should say. So I think there's always been this feeling that Bernie's an interloper in their process. Specifically with AP, what was particularly shoddy was the anonymous sourcing. I mean, they seem to go out of their way to get superdelegates who were unwilling to publicly endorse Hillary for whatever reason, but they privately tell Associated Press, and on that basis, in June, even though these superdelegates are not allowed to vote until the Philadelphia convention in July, Associated Press says, okay, she's crossed the magic number. No, she hadn't. And the idea of using anonymous sources to be able to put that report online, which is what Associated Press did, it's sort of shocking. I mean, I say that as a journalism professor. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a supporter of Bernie. I've known him since the early 90s. But I found it shocking that Associated Press, you know, in a democracy, and Sonali, you practice this, in a democracy, journalists are supposed to be sort of guardians of the process. They're not supposed to be doing the bidding of more entrenched, powerful groups. And that's what AP seemed to do. They tried to get this election ended in favor of Hillary and against the interloper candidate, Bernie Sanders.
Now, what does it mean when people retort, but look, Clinton won the popular vote? And the question is, what vote, right? She won a lot of closed primaries. Polls of likely voters nationwide showed her consistently lagging behind Sanders. And in fact, the gap between her and Sanders got bigger and bigger. Is it fair to say that she won the popular vote in a rigged voting system?
Well, that's the thing. If you're a mainstream journalist, your instinct is not to question the system. It's to accept the system as is. Now, independent journalists have been questioning this system, and the more we've learned about the Democratic Party's primary system, the more there is to question. But obviously, the system, I mean, what you went through in California was something where, you know, a lot of people didn't get the right ballots if they were declined to states. You know, they weren't a member of the Democratic Party. They had to say the right thing to get the right ballots. In New York State, where I am, you had to change your registration to Democrat in October of last year, 6 months before the election. So all these people showed up to vote for Bernie and were told they couldn't vote.
And then state by state, there were all these sort of different rules depending upon the state party rules. And so, you know, if there had been one standard and it was an open standard where essentially people could vote for the Democratic candidate if they wanted, regardless of party affiliation, the popular vote, quote unquote, might have had much closer results to polls, right?
No doubt. Oh, there's no doubt that if there weren't these obstructions, if there were open primaries. Now, you know, the hardcore Democrats say Bernie Sanders didn't even become a Democrat till 2 minutes before this race started, and only Democrats should vote in Democratic, well, you know, primaries. The reality is that the allegiances, the loyalty of voters to either the Democrats or Republicans keep shrinking, and the number of independents keeps growing. And the idea that a major party that purports to represent working people and people of color, that it would be exclusionary is somewhat hypocritical. So yes, if the system had been an open system and you didn't have to declare, like in New York, that you were a Democrat 6 months before the primary in order to vote in that primary, yes, the results would have been very different. And everyone knows it, including the Democratic Party establishment. That's, I think, why they have these exclusionary rules.
Right.
They don't want outsiders, young people, progressives to flood in there and disrupt their party.
Now, if their party, you know, if we lived in an ideal world where the two-party system didn't have a stranglehold through various ways on our electoral system, then this notion that, well, you have to be a loyal party member to and play by our rules might make sense, right? You know, if you're an outsider coming in and you're usurping our party, all of that sounds fine on the surface, except that Sanders would never have made the headway that he has made had he chosen to run as an independent all this time. There's still time for him to do so, or run as a Green or through a third party, because of the way in which the debates are run, the way in which the two-party system has essentially created a duopoly over our electoral system. So it's simply not fair to say it's our party. It's not your party. You've taken over our electoral political system, and now you're not letting us break into it.
Yeah, I think you're making a very good argument that not only is the debate system set up by the two major parties, some might say the two corporate parties, to exclude third parties and independent parties, the mainstream media system will not cover you except in the margins unless you run as a Democrat. So I think Bernie Sanders made the right decision. I think the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
You know, he's had bigger rallies than anyone perhaps in U.S. political history. He's forced these progressive issues that the mainstream media would rather not talk about into mainstream discussion because he chose to run as a Democrat. If he had chosen to run as a Green or an independent, it would have been spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. We know that. So I think he made the right decision. And, you know, the reason we're doing this petition at rootsaction.org is, you know, in the last few weeks, Bernie's, and it's a petition to Bernie, you know, Bernie said in the last few weeks, he's taking this fight to Philly. What we want to see, you know, the co-founder of Roots Action is Norman Solomon. He's a Bernie delegate from Marin County. And we want to see the full convention. We want to see a roll call vote between Bernie and Hillary. We know Hillary's going to win that roll call vote, given the system. But we want to see a roll call vote. We want to see nominating speeches. We want to see seconding speeches. We want to see people stand up and say, From the Granite State of New Hampshire, we cast 16 votes for the progressive champion, Bernie Sanders, and 16 votes for Hillary Clinton, who will be the first female president. And we are allied to defeat Trump in November. You know, that kind of thing, I remember as a kid, that's what an open convention is.
And why is that so important, especially given that there's such pressure now to unite to defeat Trump?
Well, again, I think a fair and open and democratic small D convention will build alliances to defeat Trump in November, which I think is essential.
Right.
But if you have this truncated, this aborted process where, you know, Bernie isn't even the Bernie delegates, and they're nearly half, you know, 45% of the elected delegates are Bernie delegates. It's nearly 2,000 of them. If you want to have alliances between center and left to defeat Trump in November, a fair and open Democratic convention would help that process of building those alliances.
And so then demanding that Sanders's supporters and voters simply throw their weight behind Hillary Clinton is likely to simply alienate them and likely to backfire them, particularly given that such a huge portion of them are energized for the first time because of Sanders and not because of Clinton.
No doubt. Well, again, I've always put forward, and Roots Action did it, I think, 4 years ago, a safe state. If you live in a state where the Democrats are Republicans, and that's about 40 of the 50 states, where the Democrat or Republican's going to win by 10, 15 points, you should exercise your right to vote for a Green Party or a protest candidate. But if you live in 10 or so swing states, we have such an archaic system that your vote in November for president doesn't really matter except in about a dozen states. I do encourage people, as Noam Chomsky has, as Howard Zinn did before he passed away, as a lot of progressive voices have done, which is if you live in one of these swing states, hold your nose and vote Democratic to keep a quasi-fascist Trump out of the White House. That's my belief on what to do in November. It doesn't mean we become Democrats. It doesn't mean we merge into the center. We keep our organizations independent. Roots Action is independent of the Democratic leadership. But you can tactically vote in November to make sure Trump is not the president. And then you lean on the centrist Democrats in January. Hopefully they pulverize the right wing. And then you have a strong independent left that's leaning on the center in power, President Hillary Clinton, and fighting for demands and trying to stop her from starting any new wars and try to wind down the old wars.
Well, how independent can a left be if they have thrown their weight behind Clinton? And I'm asking this sort of playing devil's advocate here from the perspective of somebody who's new to the political system, who really has felt left out of the political system till they saw Bernie Sanders speaking exactly the kinds of things that they've been waiting for someone to say and have not been hearing from Clinton, Trump, or anybody else, and to try to sort of tell them they need to strategically vote to keep Trump out, even if you or I agree or believe that that's important. How I don't see the Bernie or bust crowd feeling that they should be, in a way, bullied into this.
I'm not bullying. I'm ready to be in the streets against President Hillary Clinton in January of 2017. So I don't want to bully anyone. I'm independent. I've been attacking the Clintons since 1992.
Yes, we know that about you.
I've written dozens of columns. So what I would say to those people, especially those young people, a political revolution does not happen in a year. This is not the end of the process if Bernie doesn't get the nomination. This is a beginning, a new beginning, building on the backs of Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter. This is a real beginning. And I think that making sure that a quasi-fascist who may come down on us in a very severe way, those of us who help people like Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning, we could end up behind bars with a president like Trump. And he's talked about appointing Rudy Giuliani as one of his cabinet members or Homeland Security. The whole thing scares the hell out of me. So I would convey to a Bernie or bust person that a political revolution doesn't happen in a year, that we've got to keep building our independent groups. Every independent progressive group is stronger today than it was a year ago because of the Bernie campaign.
Right.
You know, FAIR is bigger than ever as a Media Watch group. All these young people are now, you know, subscribing to FAIR. Roots Action is bigger. So we keep these independent progressive groups independent of the Democratic leadership and the Democratic Party. But to vote strategically in November, or, you know, what you do that day or that week is not as important as that you fight for the full progressive agenda all the other weeks. But I really think it's a mistake if people are telling themselves that there's no difference between having a President Trump in office in January, where our liberties might go away like that,
right,
and a President Hillary Clinton, who I think will be much more easy to push on issues of war and peace, on trade.
Or at least you'll just be as bad as Obama and no worse, we hope.
Oh, I don't think she will be worse than Obama. And I've been, you know, the reason we set up Roots Action, and you know this, Sonali, is because so many of the online activism groups like Move On, Democracy for America, they wouldn't criticize Obama when he was continuing some of the Bush policies.
Right.
So, you know, I don't expect Hillary to be much worse or much better than Obama, but it's certainly the left is much stronger today in 2016 than it was in 2008 when it thought Obama was its champion. He wasn't. You've got to stay independent of the Democratic Party politicians. And I believe you got to keep Trump out in November and then keep building the left against the center and the right.
Now, I've been noticing from my own circle of friends in terms of the kind of split that seems to be happening within the Sanders supporters. You know, first there was the split between the Clinton supporters and Sanders supporters among progressives. Although, because my circle is kind of heavily biased, very few were with Clinton, but there were a few diehard Clinton supporters right from the start. Now there's a split within the Sanders camp, with some conceding and saying, let's put our differences aside, work to get Clinton elected, and others saying, let's fight on and push Sanders to run as an independent. Is it truly out of the realm of possibility to do what Jill Stein has been asking, which is to have Sanders run on a platform with her? If he's polling better against Trump than Clinton is that a possibility?
I think it's out of the realm of possibility, because Bernie, since the Reagan era of 1984, has always said that people should keep the Republicans out in a presidential election. And what Bernie would be worried about is that a Bernie Stein Green Party ticket would split up the center left vote, and Donald Trump would march into the White House. Or another scenario is that maybe Bernie could win a few states. And by winning a few states, it means that neither Clinton nor Trump has an electoral college majority, and it would go to the right-wing Republican Congress to make the decision. So I would consider it out of the realm of possibility. But let me just say one thing, and this is the wording you used, you know, we should put aside our differences and defeat Trump in November. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we should maintain our differences, that the progressives, that the left should always say, this is what we're for and this is why we're for it. But tactically, if I live in Ohio, I'm going to get the progressives out there not to stay home, not to vote for a party that's going to get 1% of the vote. But in Ohio, we have to defeat Trump because it's 50-50 here. So, but I'm not saying we pretend the Democrats establishment is better than it is, that we put aside our differences. We're for single payer. We're against these trade treaties. We want to ban fracking. We want to end these imperial wars. We know that the Clintonites do not. They're not with us on those issues. So I believe you don't put aside your differences, but you do tactically defeat Trump in November. And I want to remind people, and they hate it when I bring this up, in 1932, when Franklin Roosevelt was elected president, his platform was pretty moderate, more moderate perhaps than Hillary Clinton's will be coming out of Philadelphia. It was calling for balancing the budget. But there were these independent progressive movements, working class movements, that made these demands on a Democratic White House. And that's how we got the right to organize unions. That's how we got Social Security. That's how we got welfare, aid to dependent children, which Bill Clinton then ended in the 1990s. But, you know, a strong independent left pushing on a centrist Democratic administration and Senate could be a recipe for good reforms. And then you keep building the left. You never put aside your differences with the corporate centrist.
Now, I want to, I don't know if there's any really point discussing this because it seems like the Clinton nomination is a done deal, but Obama and Warren, President Obama and Elizabeth Warren endorsed Clinton even before the DNC. Warren has disappointed many progressives. Should we laud her for waiting until after the California primary for endorsing Clinton, or blame her for not endorsing Sanders when it might have mattered?
I wish she had endorsed Sanders. I was disappointed that she had not endorsed Sanders when it would have mattered. I do believe that a good way to get the left and the center working against Trump would be if Hillary Clinton, who's so cozy with Wall Street, chose as her running mate Elizabeth Warren, who's been a thorn in the side of Wall Street for years and years. So maybe that's the calculation. I was shocked that Obama-Biden did not put their thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton. And I think it was
early
because
enough,
Bernie
yeah.
came out of the block so fast.
Right.
And won New Hampshire and virtually tied in Iowa, that Obama stepped back, because I think he was expected to endorse Hillary earlier. That was the strength of the Bernie campaign, that Obama waited till it was pretty clear that Bernie could not win. And you know, Bernie came out of the White House yesterday to thank Obama for waiting. But yeah, I was disappointed in Warren, but I would be I would consider it a victory of the Bernie campaign and a victory of the progressive movement in our country if Hillary was forced to choose someone like Elizabeth Warren as a running mate.
Okay, Jeff, why not Sanders himself as a running mate? Why not a Clinton-Sanders platform that could really bring those progressives into the fold? Or do you think Clinton is just, you know, the animosity just got too strong between the two?
No, I don't think it's the animosity. I think there's a sense that, you know, you usually choose a vice president who could, you know, if you lose the election, Elizabeth Warren would be the odds-on favorite to get the nomination in 2020. If you win the election, you want someone who's maybe young enough to run 8 years later for president. And I think part of it is just Bernie wouldn't seem like a traditional vice presidential pick. I would love to see it.
I mean, Joe Biden is 73 years old.
No, I understand. But again, yeah, there's no, you know, he could say, she could say, I'm picking him for the first term. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Elizabeth Warren. I'd love to see Sherrod Brown, who disappointed a lot of people in Ohio. He's generally a progressive senator, very closely allied with Bernie Sanders in the Senate. He's the senator from Ohio who's fought against all these trade treaties. He's worked with FAIR against NAFTA and some of these corporate-friendly trade deals. Sherrod Brown would be another vice presidential pick that I think would help progressives hold their nose and vote Democratic in Ohio and in any close state. So, I think the Clinton team knows that despite all of the kumbaya and holding each other's hands the last 2 days, that they've got a big problem on their hand with the left in this country. And I'm glad they have a big problem. And the single most important decision they can make is who they choose as a vice president. If they choose a corporate friendly guy like Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, you know, this election's going to be closer than it need be. If they choose someone like an Elizabeth Warren or a Bernie Sanders, I think they would destroy Trump, which would be great for the left to see the right completely fractured, and the right would be fighting each other in November if Trump was soundly defeated by Clinton Sanders or
And you
Clinton
might even
Warren.
win over some of those conservatives who actually felt that Bernie Sanders swayed them more than
Oh,
Trump
yeah.
did, you know?
Of course. Oh, there's no doubt that Bernie, you know, in the state of Vermont, which was not a progressive state when he started running for office in the 70s, yeah, Bernie's always been able to win over moderates and conservatives because they know he fights for their economic interests, even if they disagree with Bernie on gay rights or abortion or what have you. So there's no doubt that that a Clinton-Sanders team would appeal to a lot of these independents who like Sanders and dislike Clinton. It would be a winning ticket.
Right.
I think that Clinton-Warren would be a huge winning ticket.
Now,
I think it would be great for progressives. And again, we keep our organizations independent of the Democratic Party leadership, for sure.
The chances that Democrats might actually take the right lessons from this whole campaign, that's what remains to be seen. Matt Taibbi just wrote a piece saying Democrats will learn all the wrong lessons from their brush with Bernie. Let's hope Matt is wrong. Jeff, give out the website again for where people can sign the petition if they'd like to push Bernie Sanders to keep going till Philadelphia so that he can and his platform can influence Clinton much more.
It's called rootsaction.org. That's one word, rootsaction.org. And people, if they want to be part of an independent online progressive force that's independent of the Democratic Party establishment, they should just sign up and they can get all the email alerts from Roots Action.
And I want to thank you so much, Jeff, for joining us today and spending this time with us.
Thank you.
Jeff Cohen is a co-founder of RootsAction.org, an associate professor of journalism, and the director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College, founder of the media watchdog group FAIR, and former board member of Progressive Democrats of America. By the way, for our California listeners, there are news reports that there are still millions of uncounted ballots in California, between 2.5 to 3 million uncounted ballots. We'll certainly be following up on that story and see where that takes us. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.